Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to look at these games and, you know, use it as teach tape. And we have our good, we have our bad. What team do we want to be? To be a really good team in this league, you got to be consistent. I think we have the right recipe. It's just about doing it game in and game out.
Good morning, everybody. It's a Football Friday. Texter writes in, let's talk football. I dialed into National Geographic. Another texter writes in that Darlene Curtis, September 2001, was the first playmate without pubic hair. We have an eclectic show. You'll learn stuff that you didn't even know you wanted to learn. Cam Hayward off the top there, saying if this defense wants to truly be great, if this team wants to truly be great, then you got to be consistent defensively. That's not exactly a cutting edge, avant-garde, nuanced opinion. That's reality. And that's one of the handful of reasons, Doran, why I do think that this is the most important game for the Steelers the rest of the way. It's against a really good team. It's against a quarterback who has performed well against you in the past. And it's a winnable road game against a really good team. And if you lose it, you're sitting there at 5-4 and you're kind of in the mushy middle. But if you win, you're 6-3 and you can squint and put yourself in conversations about maybe the 1 or 2 seed in the conference because you have the tiebreaker over Indianapolis, you have the tiebreaker over New England, and at this point you would have the tiebreaker over Los Angeles if you won. But it's also about proving that last week defensively wasn't a fluke. They don't have Joe Alt. They don't have Rashawn Slater. Their tackles are out. They could be playing Trevor Penning, who they just traded for. It'll be his first game as a Charger. That's a matchup you need to win. And if you go out there and play well defensively against a team that has 4 players that have almost 500 receiving yards, then I think people will start buying in that you're for real on that side of the ball. I'll start buying in that you're real on that side of the ball. So I think this game is of grave importance when you start to think about the playoffs for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I see what you're saying. It is an important game. And for me, the reason is because then you can show that you fixed your mistakes kind of that you had against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same beast that you're going against. You know, you have a plethora of receivers that can just stretch the field, and you have a better quarterback that can use his legs and throw. So the things that happened to you against Cincinnati and Ja'Marr Chase having, 16 receptions and Joe Flacco just doing whatever he wants and getting the ball out, not feeling any pressure, it'll show that you fixed those issues a little bit, in my opinion. And it's a West Coast trip. I know that people make jokes about West Coast trip, but, it's a night game. You're flying across the country. It's very significant for you to get a win. Now, there probably is going to be a lot of Steelers fans there, I would assume. But, it's a Sunday night game. You need to fix the issues because you know that's exactly what the same animal that you're going to go against that you played the Cincinnati Bengals. So it is important, but I don't know if it's the most important game of the rest of the season. I think that comes whenever you start going against the Ravens. Because the Ravens, if you watched last week, they might be back.
Their defense has been the best in football at giving up points the last 3 weeks. They're doing the thing they did last year again, the Ravens are.
Yep.
Last year, they were the worst defense in football. They flipped a switch. They brought in Dean Pease, and all of a sudden, they became the best defense in football for the second half of the year, and they look to be trending in that direction. They added an edge rusher who has 4.5 sacks his last 4 games, 19 pressures, which is 7 more than the Ravens, than any player on the Ravens currently. So that point's well taken. AFC North kitchen, AFC North ball, things of that nature. I think this is a swing game, though. 6-3 is a lot different than 5-4, and I have math to back that up.
Uh-huh.
Since 1990, we were on the precipice of shaving our pubes in the early 1990s. Teams that start the season 6-3 go to the playoffs 73% of the time. Teams that start 5-4 go at 47% of the time. So mathematically, it's a lot more likely that you make the playoffs at 6-3 than 5-4. And we've talked about the Ravens. I think you need to keep them at arm's length.
Uh-huh.
And they're favored to beat the Vikings on the road this week. The Vikings just pulled off one of the best wins of the NFL season, going on the road and beating the Detroit Lions last week. This is a losable spot for Baltimore. And when you look at the schedule, until they play the Steelers again, there are not many losable spots. So we'll know by the time the Steelers game kicks off, obviously, whether or not the Ravens had won. But this is a losable spot for them and a winnable tough spot for you. And you need to keep them at bay. Because the more they win, the closer they get, the more and more likely, obviously, mathematically it gets, but the more they get that belief. And that's the last thing you want from a team that, you know, according to that Baltimore Sun story from a couple of weeks ago, it was coming apart at the seams. Like, you need to keep that doubt in there.
Yeah.
Like, man, we're busting our ass. Man, we're playing good football. Man, we're chasing, but we're still 2 games back. Oh, now we're 3 games back. Dang. I just think it's huge for all those reasons. And you mentioned Justin Herbert, and how could we not? Is he the best quarterback they've faced?
Oof. Man, I don't know.
Jordan Love's good.
I mean,
Drake May's playing great ball.
Sam Darnold's playing pretty good football, too.
Man.
I think Sam Darnold is.
That loss doesn't look so bad.
No, it doesn't.
They don't lose on the road.
Man.
Which is weird because they have one of the best home field advantages in football, the Seattle Seahawks do. But, yeah, they don't lose on the road.
I feel like they played a decent amount of decent quarterbacks.
They have.
I mean, I even throw Joe Flacco in there for what he did.
Well, and Joe Flacco's clearly, with that team, that system, those weapons, he's clearly not a fluke. They put up a bajillion points against the Jets, and they scored 42. That's more than enough to win. Should be, my God, against the Bears. So, yeah, he's playing at a really high level.
Yeah, I just never really believed in Herbert. I feel like he's in the Trevor Lawrence category with me. I feel like that they can be really good, but they just haven't gotten over that hump. Like, there's games where he'll explode, and it's
yes.
Like, wow, that's the Justin Herbert that we all heard about. And then all of a sudden, he'll just be quiet. Like, I just don't believe him. I don't know what Justin Herbert we're going to get Sunday night.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I've always interpreted his game. I don't know.
Boom or bust.
Right.
Yeah. From a talent standpoint, he's as talented as anybody.
Absolutely.
He's a special player. He rushed for 90 yards against the Steelers in the past. Mike Tomlin, a rare moment of honesty in his press conference on Tuesday, say that they got lucky last year because he was immobile due to his injury. Then they knocked him out of the game. And they would have had to defend him differently if he could move around. So it is a big challenge, and they've got a lot of quality eligibles, Doran. Now, their running back position is absolutely ravaged by injury. Amarian Hampton, who you and I loved coming out of the draft, he's out. He was averaging 4.5 yards, a little bit more than that per carry. Najee Harris, he's not going to get to go up against his former team. They've had Vidal in there. They've still run the ball effectively without those guys, but their pass catchers have done really well for them this year. Every single one of their top 4 pass catchers, including tight end Aronde Gadsden, they got better numbers than DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
They got 4 guys you got to defend. And if we know anything about Roman, the offensive coordinator, it's all based on the run.
Yeah.
And I think you need to show, another reason why this is such an important game, you need to show that you've turned the corner from a run defense standpoint. I don't think the Packers ran it very well, but they didn't run it often because they knew that they could eat through the air. That was the strategy that LaFleur wanted to employ. And then last week, you did shut down the best running back in football. Can you slow down this Chargers running attack? If you do, I think you're going to get Herbert on the ground, and I think you win the game that way. So they need to show that they've turned a corner, not just overall defensively, but as we narrow in, you need to show that the last couple of weeks aren't a fluke from your run defense. So there's so many different angles to this game that make it really important. Maybe you don't agree with me that it's the most important game for the rest of the year. Maybe you agree with Dorna that it's the Raven games. It's tough for me to argue against that, actually. But it is a very important game. If you win, you're 6-3, and you can actually start talking about, hey, Kansas City's out of this thing right now. Baltimore's sitting there. At best, they'll be 4-5. You start looking at the other division leaders whom you've beat, and you start thinking, okay, if you get stuff together defensively, can you maybe get that bye?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's the most likely thing in the world, but you'd have tiebreakers over three of the best teams in the conference, which is absolutely massive. 412-928-9370 is the number. Texter writes in, the fan, tune in for the sports, stay for the pubic hair talk. A texter writes in, Harry, I think we need some clarification here, bud, that it was your math teacher that was talking to you guys about pubic hair?
Oh, it was a science teacher.
Okay, good.
Math teacher? Where did that come from?
If it was a math teacher, I probably would have said something to another adult.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be talking about pubic hair in math class. But science, I'm like, yeah, I mean, it came up and it wasn't like creepy. It was just like, oh, yeah, that's what it's for.
Were you talking about bodily related things, or were you talking about geckos, and then all of a sudden some kid got curious about the pubic hair?
I think it was a forensic science class.
Oh. Did you guys ever dissect anything?
Frog.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
My mom did a cat back in the day.
A what?
They were doing cats. That might have been in nursing school.
Come on.
They did cats, yeah. Cats are already dead.
You know they have virtual dissections now, which I think is cool.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to.
Did you guys ever do the virtual driving simulator to learn how to drive?
No.
Did you ever do the airplane one?
On the computer, yeah.
That was badass.
The game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Had to land it. I would always mess it up.
Tough, yeah.
You know, we did this one course too. It was a driving, like virtual driving thing, and they were trying to teach you to not drive distractedly. And I was annoyed by it because, like, they were intentionally throwing things at you.
Oh my God, dude!
Like, here, text your boss and give an excuse of why you're late to work. And I'm like, obviously, I'm not going to do this on the road. Of course,
I'm driving. Yeah, those driving simulators.
And if you like went the wrong way or you crashed, you failed, and I'm like, of course you're not going
to. What they really need to do is put your spouse in the seat next to you, just bitching at you the whole time. Backseat driving, put a kid crying in the back.
Yep.
But I found the same problem with those simulators because we had to use the simulator before we could get out on the road, and a deer will jump in front of you, and then right after you get around the deer, then a postman will walk out. People are just absolute nimrods on the road, even worse than in real life.
That must have came out like right after I got my license. I had no idea about it.
You're older.
It wasn't it wasn't even to pass a class. So it's something my school was doing for like an activity day, and they just brought these people in with these four computers, got a steering wheel connected. And they're like, "Hey, try to survive this course of distracted driving." And I'm like, "It's just obviously you're not going to do any of this."
Texter, I regrettably agree with Crowley. This game is going to be a win or loss based off how our defense plays, because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers and put up the points that we need offensively to win. Well, we haven't even really touched on the Chargers defense, which their pass defense, really good. They're going to make you nickel and dime it down the field, which is kind of the way the Steelers like to play, but it's strength v. strength. Texter, Crowley's making more sense today than he ever has. Well, here's the dirty little secret. When the Steelers play the Ravens, you know what I'm going to say? This is the most important game of the season.
Yep.
But I do think, at least to this point, this is an opportunity in front of the nation to kind of get your stones back.
You think this game is more important than the Cincinnati game that they just played?
That they just played?
Yeah, the Thursday night. I thought that game was the most important game.
I think because they lost that game.
Now this one.
Like, if you beat the Chargers after beating the Colts, I think you can make a reasonable argument it makes up for losing Cincinnati. Like, they weren't expected.
Or it makes feel worse.
You can always turn it that way. But you weren't expected to beat Indianapolis. I was over your house this weekend, and we were like, man, we think the Steelers are going to get rolled in this one. I predicted a 51-34 Colts victory on the air last Friday, and just because they're such a bad matchup and the Steelers' defense was so bad. So you feel like you got one back, but the Cincinnati loss was such ass that I feel like you need to get a second one back in order to make up for it.
I like that.
And you showed your backside on national television against the Packers, too. Like, you had that thing, and you totally blew it. You had a lead going into the fourth quarter, and you got eviscerated in the final frame. So I think you need to show the nation that you're the damn Pittsburgh Steelers again. Give us a ring. We're taking calls all morning long, 412-928-9370. We'll do more of the vibe check stuff coming up at 7, more of the matchup-related stuff a little bit after that. We got odds and ends today. Chris Carter at 8, Lee Sterling. But we want to chat with you. How important do you think this game is for the Steelers and how are you feeling about it? 412-928-9370. Yes, Harry.
When are we playing the rap?
And we have Harry's rap, which I totally forgot about. We're playing it at 6:50, big dog. Is it ready to be played at 6:50?
Yes, I worked really hard on it yesterday.
Yay!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think every week there's stuff you gotta, it's really the name of the game, is a better way to put it. Whether you win, score 40 plus or whatever, and have a big day, you just gotta keep that mindset to be objective. And I say it over and over and it gets boring, but it's the truest thing. Every game's a different story, how you have to adapt, what they're doing. The game could change, you know, certainly situationally. You know, last week, you know, that first quarter, come out, don't hit the big play, start, don't convert third down. That's usually what happens. If you don't convert, at some point you're gonna have third down, it's going to be, got to convert those drives. We didn't. We were aggressive after the muff, but you could feel it. We were down 7 points. They had that long drive, and then I don't know how I felt to you guys, but it was dead. And then all of a sudden, TJ makes that play, and the game changes. Next thing you know, you're up 17-7. That was a good team win, and those turnovers came in bunches. I think our starting field position was the plus 47, which is pretty rare. As I said, every game's different. For the most part, we took advantage of those opportunities. But there's, you know, you talk about situational stuff, that's every week. To finish games, you know, the turnover in 4 minute, those things, I mean, it didn't cost us, but those are the things, I mean, you're constantly working and things that come up.
Yeah, Steelers offense wasn't great last week. They did capitalize on the turnovers. They were unable to run the football. Aaron Rodgers only threw the ball down the field over 10 yards two times, and DK Metcalf had just two catches for 6 yards. They have scored over 20 points per game in their last six. And they're averaging about 25 points per game. So the offense hasn't been a problem this year. But there were some issues on Sunday. One of the reasons, Doran, why I feel like they couldn't run the ball was because in the second half, say Amalu went out, and then you're switching stuff around with your jumbo package. It doesn't seem, if I'm guessing here, that he's going to play against the Chargers. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He didn't practice on Thursday. He's got the pec injury. So Spencer Anderson could be slotting in as your left guard, and I don't know if that means Andres Pete gets to be the guy or Calvin Anderson gets to be the guy, but it's going to affect their jumbo package. It took a little bit of time for that to catch on for
it
Pittsburgh.
It did. I would think Andres Pete would be it because he's a veteran and he can, you know, he can kind of slot in and play whatever, but you know, I would feel comfortable maybe with just him being that guy. Maybe whoever is up, I do still feel comfortable with them being the extra tackle. So I think that they would probably feel comfortable with them being the extra tackle. Obviously, they're going to rep it this week with Spencer Anderson being at guard. But, you know, I think Spencer Anderson might be in a situation where he's going to play very, very well, where it's going to be hard whenever Sam Amalu does come back to sit Spencer Anderson down. I feel like the confidence for him has grown because he's gotten so many reps, which I think may end up being a good thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, if we want to look at it in a positive light.
Oh, I think it could ultimately be massive
yeah.
if he comes in, plays well at the left guard position. And I think he was pretty good when given the opportunity in the second half against the Colts. I'm caught in between because part of me wants Pete to play left guard so that you can keep using Anderson right. the way that you've used him. But Spencer Anderson, they love him.
Yes.
Rodgers loves him. He's always out on the town with the guys. And almost in a strange way, like the first time that Rodgers was ever seen publicly, it was a bunch of the big-time dudes and Spencer Anderson.
Right.
He might be the left guard of the future, which would be massive because then you don't have to draft a guy. Because I think we all see the writing on the wall with Sam Amalu. He gets hurt every year. He's a good player. He's a smart player. He's a valuable player. But he's not the left guard of the future, obviously. So I'm kind of caught in between. Do you want to play him in the position that he might occupy moving forward, or do you want to play him where he's been really successful this year? I think I'd probably play him at left guard and just trust that Pete can play the extra tackle position. Yeah, okay. That's where I've landed.
Just keep Darnell out there.
And that.
Right.
How about the Steelers play multiple tight ends 50% of the time?
Yeah.
36% of the time they're in 12, and what's the rest of that math? 14% of the time they're in 13, which does make you wonder where the room is for a guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but we'll get to that later on. Do you agree that it was their ugliest offensive performance? I know they put up points. It just seemed like they were getting blood from a stone.
Like, yeah,
they had
the labor like it was
for
tough.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like it was tough, but that's going to happen whenever you play good teams. Like,
sure.
I understand that it's the Colts, and it's like it's still weird to think that the Colts had the record that they did, especially with Daniel Jones, but they're there for a reason. And obviously they traded 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. They feel like that they're going for it this year,
yes.
Clearly. Their defense is very good. Whenever you're going against a team like that, it's not going to look pretty. And you have to scrape and claw for as many points as you possibly can, and the Steelers did that. And that's kind of how they're constructed, is to get turnovers and scrape and claw on offense in order to push them ahead to win the football game. So it looked ugly, but I'm kind of fine with it because of what you did against a really good football team when you had to. Your backs were against the wall at home, and you needed to win.
Yeah, and it looks like an anomaly at this point. And they still put up points.
Yeah.
But it looks like an anomaly because they've been the better of the two units definitely all season long. It was almost the anomaly game for the Steelers. Like, I thought if they were going to win, the offense would go out there and kick ass and the defense would get gashed. It was completely the opposite. That's another reason why I think this game's super important. Obviously, you want to get the result, but the way that they play offensively, I'd like it to look more fluid, and I'd like to see if they can continue with their defensive dominance that they put out there against the Colts. 412-928-9370. You want to talk a little Steelers Chargers? Give us a ring. 412-928-9370 on the hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can also tweet us, which is brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We always like to have a little fun with these matchups on Fridays, a football Friday. Some guys who played for the Steelers and the Chargers, the most notable names, we'll throw those around. Remember a guy. And the Penguins with a massive victory last night. It looked like a repeat of the Toronto game until it didn't. Plus, a lot of people seem to be making a big deal about Murashov not playing. How big a deal was that?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Reality.
Malkin snaps one down low. Beautiful
pass. The finish by Rust. And Pittsburgh's got the lead back. A power play goal.
It's a football Friday, but we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't talk about the really important Penguins victory last night for a bunch of different reasons. Tons of angles on this game. What a finish there by Brian Rust on the game winner. Sidney Crosby with 2 goals. That's the first angle.
Uh-huh.
Sidney Crosby's 38. He leads the league in goals.
Amazing.
And his first goal was assisted by the 18-year-old Ben Kindle, who needs to stay on the top power play unit all year long because that kid's got great vision. He's got a great shot. He reminds me of Jake Guentzel, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the biggest guy, but he's not afraid to get into the dirty areas. There was a moment on the power play, I was texting back and forth with my buddy, who's a big-time puck knower, where he dangled a puck around a defender in a way that you just don't see 18-year-olds do. Yes.
Yep.
What a job by Dubas.
Yep.
A lot of people thought he overdrafted Kindle at 11th, and so far, so good. If you're good when you're young, you're going to be good. Like, Mason Heinschel.
Yeah.
You're good when you're 18. You're
going to get better.
If you're a good freshman, if you come onto the scene and you play well and the moment's not too big for you, you're probably going to have a great collegiate career. And I look at that with Ben Kindle. In fact, my goodness, last night, John Buccigross tweeted out that he thinks Ben Kindle's going to have a Patrick Sharp career.
Wow.
At bare minimum.
Wow.
He, of course, of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Wow. Big time praise there.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That, like, at minimum, he's going to be Patrick Sharp? Okay. Sign me up. It's 640. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. I got a lot of hate on Twitter last night because I said I would not have given Alexander Ovechkin the standing ovation. He scored his 900th goal the game prior to playing the Penguins, and they honored him on the video board. And there were 18,000 people in there last night, and they gave him a standing O. And I get it. These are not just Penguins fans. These are hockey fans, and they respect the achievement, if not the man. I respect Alexander Ovechkin. I respect the achievement. But I'm a Penguins fan first and foremost, and I hate that guy. I hate him because of what he did to Gonchar, and I've never forgiven him. That's just the fan in me. I get why people clapped. I'm not going to say that they shouldn't. I'm just saying I would not personally have given Alexander Ovechkin a standing ovation. They gave him one when he broke Gretzky's record. Well, am I supposed to give him one every time? I might at the end, like the last game he ever plays at PPG Paints Arena if I were there. Like, respect the career, respect what he did for the game of hockey, respect the rivalry. I'm not honoring his ass every time he walks through the damn door, though. Hell out of here.
Why you got to be so immature?
I'm not immature. I'm a sports fan.
That's immature. That's immature. Respect the game.
I respect the game.
Respect greatness.
I respect greatness.
Like, I mean, come on.
I wouldn't have clapped for Tom Brady. If Tom Brady broke the touchdown record at Acrisure Stadium, I ain't cheering for that guy.
I mean, come on.
Not happening.
I mean, you think about being in college and, you know, catching a Penguin game and catching a Caps-Pens game.
I hated him.
Think about all the back and forth that has happened over the years. And for Ovechkin to be where he's at and Sidney Crosby to be where he's at, 39, 38 years old, and they're still playing at a high level, like, you got to respect it because you know it's going to be gone.
I respect it internally. I don't need to clap for him.
Why not?
I might have clapped.
That's ridiculous.
It might have been a golf clap, but I ain't standing for that guy.
Why not?
He broke Gonchar's knee.
I mean, come on.
I hold a grudge, Doran. Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah, clap for him. Stand now, up and good job, everybody who stood up and clapped for him.
Why didn't I clap? No one's ever scored 899 goals. Why are we clapping for him then? 898. Clap for him then.
It's respecting the game.
I respect the game.
And he is a huge part of the game and has been for a long time.
I respect the hell out of him. I just don't like him. I respect the hell out of Tom Brady. Don't like him. Well, I've met a lot of these guys.
Why don't you like him?
He's an enemy.
Can I make an observation real quick?
Of course.
I love that Doran's back. When Crowley and I argue, he looks me in the eye. He speaks with confidence. He doubles down. When he talks to you, he doesn't look you in the eye. And he just starts screaming and sounding very defensive in his arguments.
I don't ever look anybody in the eye because I'm monitoring the text line.
When you argue,
I'm looking at Twitter.
When you argue with me, you look at me and you're like, Callus, no. But with Doran, you're like, well, I mean. I'm like, ah.
Texter, why cheer for one of the dirtiest players ever? Exactly.
He's one of the dirtiest players ever.
He's evolved. He's not that anymore.
He is not one of the dirtiest players ever. Not even in the top 10.
He was dirty.
He's evolved.
He has evolved. That's like saying
That's
like saying Sidney Crosby's a diver because he dove in like the first five seasons of his career, and that might even be stretching it.
He's got more goals than anybody in the history of the game.
I know what he's done.
You gotta appreciate that while it's here.
I'm appreciating it. I watch it. I enjoyed it. I should have gone last
night. Show your appreciation by standing and clapping.
No.
Why not?
No, because he's a villain. He's the yin to Crosby's yang. Don't like him. Don't have to like him. Why do I have to like him?
You don't have to like him, but you can respect him.
I respect him.
Okay.
I show
stand
my
up and clap.
I show my respect by knowing internally how I feel about
you. Show your
him.
Respect by going on the biggest radio show in the city and saying that he's.
I mean, I wouldn't boo him. I think that's the ultimate disrespect. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't clap or stand. I just personally wouldn't.
That's wild.
He's an ass. Evgeny Malkin, he tried to take off Malkin's head in 09. I mean, Sergei Gonchar, when it gets cold, probably still walking with a limp.
You know what? He tried to take off, wait, you said Malkin's head in 09?
Yes.
Did you just see the picture of them together?
I don't care if they like
it. They hate each other. They had no respect because Crowley is upset that he took his head off back in 2009. And now that they've made amends and they're pals in Russia.
Doran, this is the classic, like, I hate when they do the jersey exchanges after the games,
that was
too.
It.
Like, I have very few, like, old man sports opinions. The jersey thing after games drives me nuts. They gave him a Rolex whenever he scored the goal that broke Gretzky's record as if he can't afford his own damn Rolex. You know who needs a Rolex?
You.
Me. I've watched the Penguins. I've watched every damn Penguins game since I'm like 9 years old. And I am not a millionaire Russian oligarch. I need a Rolex. Oh, congratulations on breaking Gretzky's record. Let's take a picture. Here's a Rolex. He was like, oh, this is nice. He didn't even care. They got 16 of these at home with my supermodel Russian wife. Yeah. F that guy. Yeah. Poor Gonchar.
I feel like you're jealous.
Of course I am. When it's 50, because we have similar body types. When Gonchar.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do. When Gonchar goes out and it's below 50 degrees and the dew points at whatever level, he walks with a limp because of this ass.
Isn't Gonchar from Russia?
Yes.
Aren't they pals?
Probably.
Yeah. So you're mad at nothing.
They also only.
I'm a fan.
We got three championships from the Penguins. The Capitals only won one in their time.
So I do think that's a really interesting point. If they had three and the Penguins had one, I don't know that Ovechkin gets the ovation last night. I think Penguins fans believe that Crosby has surpassed Ovechkin because of the accolades that he has accrued over his career, and so it's easier to stand and cheer. You know what I mean?
I can see
like,
that.
I don't dislike him as much as I used to dislike him because I think Crosby lapped him. Like, and there's reasonable people that'll disagree with that, but Crosby got three.
I mean.
So you can't stand and clap, and instead of standing and clapping,
wouldn't.
You come on this illustrious radio show and you say that he's
illustrious.
An ass?
Illustrious?
You Marconi. You call him an ass?
You just, it's.
I'll frame it this way. Twitter poll. Brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. And am I an ass for not wanting to stand and cheer for Alexander
Ovechkin? I wonder
Ovechkin.
How many people really took your approach yesterday.
Not many.
Right. Because they respect the game.
I respect the game.
Not really.
I can respect things how I want to respect them.
Yeah.
And how are you doing that? Again, by
you're
sitting
upset
on?
Because you don't have a watch. you're at 6'3".
We have similar body types. I don't know what you're talking about.
Why do you think you have similar body types?
Because neither one of us have abs that show through our tummy fat. He's such a specimen. TK was talking about him the other day. He's like, when you hit that guy, nothing happens. when you hit that guy, when you hit that guy, it's like hitting a Mack truck.
Yeah, it's like hitting a pile of bricks, boys.
I can't. Am I an ass? 412-928-9370.
Don't even text in or call in. Yes, he is.
I go.
Go ahead.
On a not related point, why did you share the YouTube stream on X teasing the rap when you could have just shared the YouTube live video X live video?
Harry, that's
X
a question
now.
You could have asked me off the air.
Yeah, you're right. But we're on X now. I wanted to promote that too. That was why I wanted to bring
coming up next, Harry's Steelers weekly wrap-up, which was wildly popular last week. Also, there was another angle that we haven't touched on from the Penguins game last night that I'd like to breach into. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Am I an ass for not wanting to stand and cheer for Alexander Ovechkin last night? Texter. I feel bad calling Crowley an ass because he's actually a likable guy. You guys' banter makes the show. But, yeah, no offense, Crowley is an ass. If he wasn't, I wouldn't like the show as much. I'll take that. Texter, Doran's TK impression is better than TK's TK.
Boys, listen, Ovi, like I would have stood. The boys would have stood.
There was a great mic'd up moment between Crosby and Ovechkin last night. Crosby has forgiven him. I haven't. Where Crosby congratulated him on his 900th goal, and he's like, on the backhand, huh? And Ovi was like, it surprised me too. Damn it. I wish they hated each other still. I wish that Crosby gave him the silent treatment and didn't congratulate him on 900 goals. But I think Sid understands Scoring a goal is hard. Scoring 900 is really, really, really hard.
Do you wish Ben gave Aaron Rodgers the silent treatment and hated each other?
Well, no. I mean, if Ovi finished his career a Penguin, I would, of course, embrace him and love him to death.
Hmm.
Key point to death. 412-928-9370. We will get to Harry's Steelers weekly wrap-up in one moment. But by God, a lot of people were pissed off about Murashov not starting last night. Became a huge Twitter conversation. And what? Because they needed to sell tickets, right? It was a sellout. It was Penguins Caps.
Yeah.
The Penguins play on Saturday and Sunday. So Murashov's going to get one of those two games. You know what you do? It's pretty easy for me to figure out. You play Shelovs against New Jersey on Saturday, and then at home on Sunday. You want to sell some tickets? You play Murashov.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Shelovs on Saturday, yes. Murashov on Sunday.
Correct.
But if it's about selling tickets, they knew that there were going to be 18,000 people in there for Ovechkin and for Crosby. Like, what the hell? It's not that big of a deal. Like, I want him to debut at home. If he debuts on the road, I'll change my opinion. I think that'd be stupid because you want to make a moment. You want to create buzz. Like, I totally get all that, but you can still do that this weekend. And you were going with a goalie rotation that's worked anyhow. Jari played the last game. You go with Shelovs, and not that complicated.
Yep.
IMO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone texted in and said, this is like the military, Crowley. You salute the man, not the rank. That's one of the great lines in Band of Brothers. You salute the man, not the rank.
Respect.
But that's the military, and this is sports fandom.
I feel like you're the only one that feels this way.
Oh, 100%. I got a ton of crap for
it. This is your creative sports fandom.
I just am an ass. I'm an ass who went, if you wrong my team, I don't forget it. I don't forget it. Like, I hate Tom Wilson. We'll always hate Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson can break some records, and he's a dirtier player than Ovechkin. But he could break a record. I ain't giving that guy a standing ovation. And I respect his
you
game.
You cried after Rich Rod beat Pitt this year. You cried in the stands with your little pals, swinging back and forth, singing Country Roads. Mm-hmm. What did Rich Rod do to your team 20-plus years ago? Or 20 years ago?
Win more games in a three-game span than any coach in the history of the program?
Didn't he leave the program?
Yeah, he had to see what else was out there.
Oh, so you forgive him?
Well, that's what my wife did.
Oh.
When she broke up with me in college. Got to see what else is out there. Got to swim in the deep waters of the sea. And then she came and returned back, just like Rich Rod.
Hmm.
So my wife, Rich Rod, very similar.
Oh.
Forgave her, forgave him.
Gotcha.
Did I do something to you? Because we were supposed to hear my rap.
We're going
to
hear it right now. Wildly popular, Nicholas Harry Callis, Steelers, weekly, wrap-up. And it's creative because rap is spelled R-A-P.
The Steelers are going to win the championship.
Super Bowl.
Now they just need a wide receiver, and they'll be destined for greatness.
They did nothing. Bupkis.
Oh. I'm Harry Callis, I'm back. Are the Steelers that bad? Let's go and take a look at the week's recap. The Steelers got no receivers at the deadline. Are they going to be fine? Did they miss this time? And I guess MVS is just
practice squad guy.
Seems like he'll get by. Hope he doesn't try to fly like Wilson did when he fumbled. Security.
That boneheaded lack of ball security.
The Steelers wanted Myers. That was clear. But Schefter said
Jacksonville stepped up here.
Caboli doesn't think he's that nice. Worth the price.
When did Myers turn into Jerry Rice?
But if DK goes down, Crowley said not pleased.
They have the worst wide receiver core in the league.
Will the Steelers be the kings of the North? We're going back and forth, but it seems they'll get their money's worth. Well, without an established second wide receiver, of course.
You already have three receivers, two Roman, Calvin Austin, that are not so far away from what Jacoby Myers brings.
There you go, Harry.
A plus. That was unbelievable. That was A plus. Good job. Wow.
Playing that sucker again at 8:50.
Wow.
Maybe more. Good job, Harry. Harry stayed here until 3 o'clock yesterday, took a lunch break, and I'm telling you right now, did not get paid extra for it. So, good job, Harry.
Wow.
It's a new mainstay on Friday.
That's great.
It'll be Love on it. Social media, too, but come back at 7:50 if you leave. Don't leave. I mean, why would you leave? But if you leave, come back at 7:50. We'll play it again.
Good job.
8:50. 9:50. All morning long. Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.